Good evening. My name is Eric, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who has struggled with drinking and drugs and still struggles with pride, control, and trusting Christ in everything. Hello. And, you know, I was just sitting there, and as we were worshiping, just struck with such just such a heart of thanksgiving right now for where I am in my life. It was 7 years ago this month that I walked, that I started my journey of turning my life and my will over to the care of God, and came in here, and I was a broken man. I was separated from my first wife. I served divorce papers on March 12th, or actually I was finalized, the divorce was finalized March 12th of 2004. I had been leading a life of drugs and drinking and workaholism and a life of me, and I was broken. And praise God, I am 7 years of sobriety from drinking and cocaine and... I'm just so thankful. I'm just so glad that you all are here. So tonight I've been asked to speak on Lesson 20. We have, it's founded in the context of Principle 7 and Step 10, 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. I also have a couple other verses I wanted. This is such an important lesson, the daily inventory. This is where, in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So I say, walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When you get to lesson 20, you've already gone through a thorough and rigorous moral inventory. You've confessed this to others and to God. You've made a lot of effort to make amends where possible, and you're starting to really walk in your recovery and find strength and life. And then, but we've got to make sure that we continue to do that. So this is one of those lessons and steps where you maintain your sobriety and you increase your walk with the Lord. And for those of you who I'm going to bore tonight, I'll give you the lesson right now. I mean, basically, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about spending time in the Word. The whole lesson tonight is really finding time to spend with God, to take a look at your heart and take a look at your actions and to hold them up against the standard which God has given us to live. And then we just ask Him to help close that gap in our lives and to clean up the messes that we're making as we walk through life. So that's really the whole deal. But I'm going to... what I'd like to do is I can tell you a story about my drinking and drug days, but instead I'm going to tell you an embarrassing story about house cleaning. When I was in college, I lived with a couple roommates, and it was the first time we were out in the world taking care of ourselves or trying to. And the way we cleaned our house was basically what we did. I'll give you two examples of this. One has to do with the dishes up here. We would go about our life and we would use the dishes to make a meal for breakfast or dinner. We'd run out to classes or to go mountain bike or to do something social. And we'd just throw the dishes in the sink. We would choose our meals around the pots that were left to cook out of. And we would just keep mounding these plates up in the dishes and making a mess and a greater mess and a greater mess, not really wanting to deal with it. We also had a garbage can in the corner of our kitchen, and we would throw, you know, what goes in garbage cans in the garbage can, and it would get at the end of the day or week or series of days, And we'd get towards the top, and then we would have this game of Jenga. We would kind of play with it at the top because nobody wanted to take out the garbage. So the roommates would come over, and we'd try to pile it up, knowing that if we knocked it over, we'd probably have to take the garbage out. And nobody wanted to clean up the mess. So eventually it would fall, and there were many times that we would just it would start to be a garbage corner instead of a garbage can. So we would just start throwing things in that general direction and not wanting to clean up that mess. But over time, and so then when eventually we got around to it, it was either not functional for us. We couldn't, there was no more dishes. We couldn't cook meals. We couldn't eat, couldn't feed ourselves. Had to go order pizza. Or it was just plain unhealthy for us. So it got to such a state, because those were just two microcosms of what was going on in the whole house. And so it got to such a state, it was just really not healthy or it was not functional. So we would spend a lot of time and effort to clean this up. It would take us hours and hours or days sometimes to clean up because one of the guys was going to have a girl over. Or, you know, we just needed to be able to use our house again. And it had gotten so uncomfortable because of the messes we had made. So anyway, like this, what I want to draw to, this is our, that was how I took care of my physical house. So like this, the daily inventory is kind of where we try to progress instead of going through and having to do another more rigorous and thorough inventory. What we're trying to do is pause and take time throughout each day to kind of clean up the messes as we go. Because I learned as I matured a little bit over my years and as I spent some time with healthy roommates that they would urge me, you know, Eric, you don't have to, you can actually clean up your mess at the end of the day. So you can spend some time, and before you go to bed, you can actually take those dishes and you can clean them up. And I learned that. And, I'd look at the garbage can and I'd say, hey, before this falls all over the floor and I have to end up scrubbing the floor because of the mess, I could just take that out and clean up my mess at the end of the day or in the beginning of the day when I start. And then what I learned, actually, for those of you who don't know, I'm remarried, and my wife has enlightened me once again that I don't even have to just take a daily inventory, or I don't even actually have to wait to the end of the day to clean up my dishes, but I can actually clean up my dishes after breakfast. I can clean up my breakfast dishes, and I can take them, and I can put them in the dishwasher, and I don't have to wait until the end of the day to clean up my mess. So I can walk through my day and clean up messes as I go. So that is ultimately the point of the daily inventory, is not just to clean up our messes once a day, but to just reflect on what messes we haven't cleaned up through the day. Well, what I'll do now is kind of just shift to, well, how do we do that? So hopefully you get a little bit of the comparison between the physical cleaning of your house and how you can set up a time to kind of spot check what you have and have not cleaned throughout the day or week, and then doing that on a ongoing basis to this daily inventory. So how do we do that? It's really simple in the context of the principle 7 and step 10. Is that we're reserving a time through on a day to just check in and sit down with the Bible and a journal. So is yourself a Bible and a journal and a specific time during the day, and just check your actions in your heart against what God's Word says. So if we go to, what I'd like to do is just suggest a scripture to get your inventory started. So when you sit down, how I do this, and this is what I often tell the people I sponsor, is just pray. So spend some time, it doesn't matter when, but just Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is just, I think, just nails this. And I'd write it down and do this. It says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious ways, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So what we're doing is we're asking him to know my heart, know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any offensive ways in me. So it's talking about heart and action. And I want to talk about that because the heart, I think, is the most important part of this inventory. It's not always exactly what we're doing, but it's the heart behind it. In Luke 6:45, it says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." Mark 7:21 also mirrors this. Says, "For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside and defile a person." So, as we reflect against God's standard for our heart, then we're able to see those the gap that's where from how we're living over the last 24 hours. So, there's some questions also that we want to ask ourselves as we pray through this, and then we'll put some questions up. What I like to start is, you know, since my last inventory, this is what I tell some of the sponsees that I work with, is to do this heart check. Does my heart line up with God's word? Do my actions line up with God's word? And a great general way to do this before we get to the scripture is just three questions to ask yourself. I'd write these down. What am I afraid of? What am I resentful of? And what am I thankful for? Because, you know, I find that I'm often afraid that I'm going to lose my revenue. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my income and my ability to provide for myself. You know, and I also feel like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my investments. I find myself often journaling. But when I'm able to journal that, I'm also able to reflect on my heart and ask the Lord to remove that and let Him do the work. Oftentimes, last week when I was writing down what I was resentful of, I was sitting there in the morning and I was having my quiet time and I was going over some resentments that I might have and trying to pray through that. And then my wife walks by, clip-clop, 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 out into the kitchen, bang, boom, bang, making her breakfast and getting ready for a meeting. And I'm sitting there writing down, "I resent things that get in the way of my quiet time." You know, and just right out of nowhere, my heart, the evilness that was in my heart just jumped out. She's just walking on our hardwood floors, being as quiet as she possibly could. But no, there's the reflection of what was inside of me at the time. But if I was able to journal it, a little bit of laugh at myself, and then give it over to God, and He just removed it right there, you know, and just and put in His truth in my heart. About loving, because His whole purpose is for us is to love Him and love others. So that's why I focus on Scripture. So after you ask yourself these questions, what am I afraid of? What am I resentful of? And what am I thankful for? You know, if you've got a lot of things you're afraid of, a lot of things you're resentful for, you're not trusting Him enough. And if you're not thankful, you know, you're just not in a good spiritual place. And it's a great heart check. And then you go on to actually hold up God's word to your heart and your actions. And what I've done is, because it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." What I wanted to say is, if I'm walking in the Spirit, then I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit displayed in my life. And so what I want to do is I memorize the fruit of the Spirit and reflected on my heart and my actions against those. So we'll talk about what those, the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so I would hold those up as I prayerfully reflected on my life, my heart, and my actions. And then I didn't only just reflect on that, but I wanted to understand, what does God mean by love? What does He mean by joy, by patience? Because I have my own definition of it, and love could be like a Hollywood love. It could be like, what do I get out of this love? So I know that God calls us to love Him and love others, so I defined it by another verse. I like to have the Bible define what the Bible means. And so there's a famous verse, in 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. And that's just enough for me to start to make amends right there. Because my nature is not patient. My nature is not kind. And I have to often go to my wife. In fact, probably a lot of the quarrels between Aaron and I is because I'm not patient and I'm not kind. And I have to reflect on that. So when you hold your heart and your actions up to Scripture, and you take specific Scripture and reflect as a mirror to you, that's really what this daily inventory is all about. And then you journal it. You ask God to give you the strength and will and motivation to make amends where you need to forgive others where they've hurt you, and to ask for forgiveness from those you've hurt. So in a nutshell, that's the lesson tonight. I challenge all of you to either find your own Scriptures, use these questions, find your own Scriptures, or use the Scriptures I shared with you tonight to do that over the next week. And just see what God does and how He blesses you. You don't have to be through the rigorous and moral inventory to do this step. You can start receiving the blessings today with it by just doing these few steps. And that's all I got. Thank you.